Yeah, we're here together under unusual circumstances. We thought, Jake and I, that, you know, it'd be good to be creative and coming together to dialogue about a text. And I appreciate that we could do this together, Jake.
Oh, it's fun. If you can't learn something new during a time like this, I don't know. Should we be in ministry then?
Right. And in order to boost ratings, we thought we'd go directly to Leviticus. And that's our passage, Leviticus 23, verse 15. And have a look as you follow along, starting at verse 15 through 22. This is the Feast of Weeks. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring 2 loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour, baked with yeast, as a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, each a year old and without defect, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They'll be a burnt offering to the Lord, together with their grain offerings and drink offerings, an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Then sacrifice 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 lambs, each a year old, for a fellowship offering. The priest is to wave the 2 lambs before the Lord as a wave offering, together with the bread of the first fruits. They are a sacred offering to the Lord for the priest. On that same day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Yeah, these festivals are pretty amazing. For me, that whole theme of festival that is found in Leviticus 23, it's a call for community. It's a call for us to get together. And this festival comes at the end of the harvest. So this is a festival about plenty, about generosity, about God being generous to us. And so God wants us to be generous to him in these sacrifices as well. But what amazes me most is that God is saying, remember, in these sacrifices, you're being generous to me. But don't forget the people around you. You know, there's all these poor and foreigners and everybody else who live among you. And some of them don't have land anymore. They've had to give it up. And foreigners can't have land in our country. But don't forget them. And don't reap all the way to the edge of their field so that these working poor, so that these people who we often overlook, they have an opportunity to experience a plenty of the land as well.
This reminds me of something that happened just a couple of years ago in our community here in central Alberta. The harvest was anticipated to be at the normal time of year. And there was one family, and I had the privilege of leading the rehearsal and the wedding for this family. And it was designated in the month of November, which is not harvest season. Now, the time came where we were all surprised at how far the harvest was pushed back. And I got to witness something delightful in light of what you're saying, Jake. Because when the wedding took place, actually, let me start with the rehearsal. It was so tight that hardly anybody showed up to the rehearsal because they were harvesting up until midnight of that day the rehearsal was scheduled. And you have to understand that that's the case, but that gives you an idea of how tight the schedule was, and this being in November when typically you're supposed to be long done. What I witnessed was something that was filled with such great joy, hard to explain into words, during the day of the wedding, which now had seen the harvest concluded. There was, of course, this festival, but it was also filled with great joy because the harvest was done. And it, even though it was so tight, it was done in time. And there was such gratitude in the way people celebrated at that wedding, not just for the couple in terms of their marriage vows, but also just the fact that everybody worked together so hard just 12 hours ago, 24 hours ago, to get this thing done. And so that sense of joy in terms of receiving generosity and having the gratitude for it came really clear in that year of harvest right here in Central Alberta.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, because harvest time is hard work. And this comes at the end of harvest. It begins actually this whole kind of session with the Festival of First Fruits, where they've harvested the first fruits, and then they count 50 days. So that's 50 days of hard work bringing in all the harvest. And that's why this feast is also called the Feast of Pentecost. And of course, we know the Feast of Pentecost from the New Testament, where, you know, Jesus dies, he's put in the grave, he rises up from the grave, he goes back to heaven, and then 50 days, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. And then you get this whole different kind of harvesting happening, because Jesus has said, you know what, the fields are ripe for harvest. They're white with the harvest just waiting. And the Holy Spirit is that gift to us to remember that harvest is people-oriented as well. It's not just, you know, barley and grain and canola and flowers, but for Christians, for us in the church, harvest is saying, don't forget about the people, and don't forget about the people that don't know me yet. You know, go out, you know, go share, draw them in, and don't just tell them about me, but invite them to join you, join us in our journeys following Jesus.
Well, in a day and age like we're living in right now, with all the talk about no one being able to meet together, really rejuvenates some kind of interest in how can we then be the people called by God to be the people of God in community when we are robbed of some of the things that we lean on so much, right? So this is interesting. I guess we could use words like, how do we connect? Ask that question. And there's no lack of anxiety that people can find, no lack of fear. There's people with a great deal of questions, and that's probably because we're in the middle of this right now, as to wondering what happens, since things change so quick from day to day and week to week. Some connecting stories, though, that have been really cool, as we were waiting to do this together, and we were already jumping the gun and talking about ways, because I know that people are desperate to overcome their fears and their anxieties and find the peace that's so overflowing and the comfort that God offers so much through His Son Christ as to this moving forward. I know that last Sunday there was a family, because there was a plethora of churches that had canceled. And
I confess we did.
Yes. And the families that got together had some unique experience in terms of having their grandchildren put the chairs out because they understood the tradition and they got to read the scripture now. And so they were actually taking a leadership role in the homes, and it started to bring a different aroma, if we go back to the Leviticus passage, in terms of what God hears and sees, you know, from way above, in terms of who we are as people that want to worship and should continually find ways to worship. Yeah, you've had some interesting stories, because in light of all the hoopla, there's been some creative ways, like that Circle of Friends dinner, right?
Yeah. Circle of Friends is a meal that we sit down every Thursday, and it's a community meal, and a lot of people count on it. So yeah, we were trying to figure out how do you do Circle of Friends when you can't actually gather together. So we've got some amazing deacons and cooks and everything else, and you look at the restaurants, they're all doing takeout now. So why not do takeout? But it's so cool because everybody kind of drives up to the front doors of the church. They come out and we give them the meal. But it's not just handing a bag of food over or a bag of meals. There's always some conversation. Everybody stopped. And one of the members of our church was driving by, and she kind of waves as she's driving by, and she sends a text message after and said, "Oh, it was so cool watching you guys hand out the food and just seeing the smiles on the people as they received it." Yeah, finding ways to connect and stay connected is so important. And not, that's what we're created for.
Yes, and not seeing the fear or the anxiety as being an obstacle because you pulled it off last week. And despite it was a program that looked quite different the week before,
oh yeah,
and still you created a lot of connectivity in terms of the people who you wanted to serve and who were serving. Yeah, we have a number of things too that we wanted moving forward. How is this going to look? I have a prayer and accountability group that's been meeting for the better part of 20 years on Thursday mornings.
Wow.
And, yeah, you know, you've honored the social distancing concept that is talked about so much, despite the fact that you maintained the program of the Circle of Friends. And I know there's many churches that have different ways in which they're trying to find out, how do we do this now? And so one of the things that that we did was just honor the social distancing thing, but we still continued to meet with the few people who we have prayer time and accountability mm-hmm. time with. And I do know that we do not give up meeting together, yeah. but there's still a ways in which we can do that despite everybody's concerns about how this can happen and if it can still happen. So.
Well, and that's what I appreciate about your invitation to do something this way. You know, two pastors, two different churches, but, you know, we're still connected and we're still communicating. And knowing your history in radio broadcasts that I just learned about this morning, you have skills and gifts to still stay connected, which are really cool. So I'll be sitting at your feet for the next few weeks learning from you. That's for sure.
You were talking about the bread in this passage as we were preparing, and there was something about the significance, of course. We would have loved to have a loaf of bread and symbolize.
Forgot.
Yeah, sorry. But there's a story behind that, which unfolds some of the meaning behind this text.
Yeah, this kind of all started off with the festival of unleavened bread, and that kind of points back to God protecting his people and taking them out of slavery. And now at the end of harvest, you have that chance to kind of sit back and relax, to use yeast and to allow the yeast to rise. And I was a baker for 16 years before going into ministry. And there is a real difference between doing a fry bread, which is unleavened, and doing a baked bread. When you bake bread, oh, the aroma, it just fills the room, and it surrounds you, envelops. You guys got one of these songs that talks about the melody enveloping us, but that's what the smell does as well. But it's that opportunity to enjoy the gifts that God's given us and say, yeah, God is good and God is with us and God provides for us. And that's something that we need to remember in a time like this as well, that God is with us. He provides for us. Jesus is the bread of life as well. And when I think of bread, I think there's nothing more wonderful than taking a piece of fresh bread and a little bit of butter and you get that taste, and there's just that. It brings comfort. It brings, oh, it's good.
Which may just happen right after the worship service. You know, maybe you're already in the kitchen putting that butter on your bread. But it's a reminder, which is why Jesus used these rather simple symbols to help us understand the depth of Scripture and the history of Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
And the way in which we connect. Maybe we're not breaking bread right here now between the two of us, but in some ways we are because of how we connect and share and be present with each other in a time where many people wonder how we can be present. I think that there's something about time too. We have a lot of time, and it's interesting how many games of Ticket to Ride can you play in a week. But there is something about time And we have this, and there are people who perhaps are struggling to find out what they can do with all this time. But there are some people who have found ways in which they've now found time to dive into relationships a little deeper, even if it is social media or even the scriptures.
Yeah. I had one lady who contacted me through text or email. I can't remember which one exactly. But she said, you know what? I've got more time now. I don't have to do so much. And I started reading the Bible again. And wow, there's a whole lot of stories in there that I didn't realize were in there. And, so she's going to stay in touch with me because she said, there's some pretty disturbing stories in there as well. but again, all those stories keep drawing us back to God and remembering that, you know, God's people are messed up. They worry, they fear and everything else, but God keeps coming back and saying, hey, you know what? It's okay. I'm with you. Yeah. Don't be anxious. Fear not.
Right. So through this whole passage, we can make ourselves aware that festivals and celebrations and connectivity with the body is still quite possible, despite that there's so much thrusted upon us that seemingly keeps us away from each other. And I think that's a healthy thing to remind ourselves of as to who God calls us to be, despite of all that's going on.
Well, and you had mentioned what really struck you was the margins here,
right?
That the margins of the fields had to kind of be kept for everybody else as well. And you talked about literature, about books, the margins in books.
Yeah, so if you look at any given book on your shelf while you eat your bread for lunch, you'll notice that the ones that have larger margins are actually, really pleasant on the eye. It's easy to read. I published a book, and I was quite surprised how much they got into asking me, how big do you want your margins to be? And that's the empty part, which seems to be wasteful, but isn't at all. It's very strategic. You actually brought up the children's books have the biggest margins of all, right? In terms of the outside. I brought a book, not only to show you that there's margins, but you don't need to see that, but a book that actually, is entitled Friendships at the Margins. And it talks a lot about how we need to make room and time and not be so full that we don't leave that margin for the other people around us. And perhaps those are the ones who, like the scripture text says, aliens or the poor, but are also those who are filled with anxiety and feel left out or perhaps are isolated, which is a big word we're using this day and age, and need to be reassured that we do love them people too.
And I guess that's why I'm so grateful that this is happening at a time like this. We have so many ways to still stay in touch. The other night, my granddaughter from Hamilton, thousands of miles away on Kids Messenger, kind of pops up and says, hey, Grandpa, you know what? I'm not in school anymore. But you know what? I thought it was going to be more fun not having school. But I miss my friends. I miss my teacher. And she says, so I'm connecting with everybody now on Messenger so I can see them face to face. And there's phone calls and there's text messages and there's email. There's so many different ways. Be creative. Phone though, hearing the other person's voice, that makes it personal. And that's, we cannot forget the people that are easily forgotten. And I think that's what you're getting at with the margins.
Yes. I'm profoundly impacted by how important that is. We can say a lot more. Maybe that's a sermon for another time. If you did want to know, it's titled Friendship at the Margins, and it's subtitled Discovering Mutuality in Service and Mission. And, this is true for some of the things that we are used to doing in church that still can exist. Yeah. So, well, there's a continuous outpouring of God's love and faithfulness through all generations, and there would be no need to think or believe that that ends at any time like this because of the way you feel or the things you hear. And I think that's a good way to end and remind ourselves of who our God is in terms of wanting us to be comforted and giving us the time maybe to dive into that a little bit more and honor him in ways that need to be creatively done now.
Yeah.
So maybe you would, I'd like to close in prayer and we can continue to worship unless you had a few things to add.
No, I just say thank you. Thank you for reaching out to us as pastors to say, hey, let's look at something different. But reminding us that we need to stay connected as well, because as leaders, we need to stay healthy so that we can be healthy for you. And so thank you, Rick. Really appreciate this.
Right on.
And yeah, let's just close with a word of prayer.
Thanks, Jake.
Father, thank you. Thank you for these festivals that you've given us, because these are festivals where people come together, where people remember your generosity and remember that you keep pouring out from yourself into us. But Lord, it's not meant to stay just within us. You mean for it to pour out from us as well. So Lord, help us to stay in touch. Help us to remain connected, and help us to remember those on the margins, those who need to harvest from the edges of the fields because they feel anxious or afraid or that they don't have enough. So Lord, help us to still be church, your church, during this time. Give us wisdom and give us insight and fill us with your peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord be with you all.